It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. President Biden wants to let more seniors and those with disabilities get care at home instead of having to live in a nursing facility. We are going to discuss that today, what this proposal means, and does it have a chance of success? My guest is Max Richmond. If you're a regular listener, you know him well. He is president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, one of my favorite organizations. The National Committee is nonprofit and nonpartisan. It acts in the interest of its membership through advocacy, education, services, grassroots efforts, and the leadership of a board of directors and professional staff. The work of the National Committee is directed toward developing better informed citizens and voters. Max, as always, thank you so much for joining me today to discuss these important topics.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Carol, and I might say you're one of my favorite radio hosts as well.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. Thank you, Max. So this proposal calls on Congress to put $400 billion with a B, toward expanding access to quality, affordable home or community-based care for seniors and people with disabilities. Can you break that down for me? What does this really mean for seniors and those living with a disability?
Well, first of all, I think it means that President Biden is listening to seniors around the country. We know that seniors who need health care in an institution, which would much rather be able to receive that kind of help and stay at home. Unfortunately, there hasn't been enough money in the pipeline to allow that to happen. And the president, President Biden, as I said, is obviously aware of this and has made a commitment to put additional resources into this budget that would allow people to stay at home. The infrastructure bill that the president has introduced has a number of very important aspects that are really keep in mind the fact that we have a very large influx of seniors now, and it will continue to grow dramatically in the future. And just by example, this may be a little outdated, but as of a couple years ago, there were 10,000 people turning 65 every day. And I recently read an article that the number of seniors, those 65 and older, is projected to grow by more than 40 million, doubling what it is now by the year 2050. And by the way, those that require more help than younger seniors, those over 65, that number in the population will triple by the year 2050. So we see that the numbers speak for themselves. We know that seniors prefer to be at home where they're more comfortable, and obviously here during this pandemic, they're safer. It's less expensive than placing them in an institutional setting. But there have been problems in terms, as I said, the funding, and also the people that are in the home care business, home care workers. We need to make sure, and the legislation does, and we can talk about specifics of how it would increase the number of those healthcare workers available and compensate them fairly.
Well, and so that is a huge issue right there, because they take care of the most vulnerable population aside from babies, and they make terrible wages, and yet we're entrusting our loved ones to them. And they're not well paid.
That's an important point. According to Service Employees International, the median salary for a home care worker is about $17,000 per year. And part of the problem is states are limited in the amount they have to be able to compensate home care workers through the Medicaid program. What's really astounding to me is half of home care workers right now also are on some form of public assistance, such as food stamps. But bottom line, they're not paid enough, and this makes it very hard to attract those people who, as you pointed out, we need to take care of some of our most vulnerable folks in our population. So the president's infrastructure plan would extend a Medicaid program that allows seniors and individuals with disabilities, let's not leave them out, they may not be seniors, but they need this assistance, allows them to move back into their own homes. The $400 billion of caregiving would go to states by expanding the Medicaid program. Medicaid is the program that basically funds most nursing home payments that are provided by the federal government. This would make more funds available, additional funds available for home and community-based services, and boost the pay of those workers, offer them something they often don't have, which is paid leave, health care for those caregiving workers, and a number of other benefits that would be provided through this legislation. I think one statistic I wanted to point out is that caregiving is one of the fastest growing industries in our country. There's an estimate I read recently that we're going to need almost 5 million additional home care employees in just 7 or 8 years. So we've got to make sure that this proposal makes its way through the House and the Senate. It's absolutely essential to so many seniors that need that help now or may in the future.
And it's much cheaper. Even if somebody hired a home care worker to work around the clock, three shifts, it would still be cheaper than putting that person in a nursing home.
Absolutely.
And yet the nursing home is paid for.
And preferable. I have had town hall meetings, hundreds and hundreds of them around the country over the years. I've never met a single person that would not prefer to receive this kind of caregiving at home, whether it's having needs such as bathing, eating, small assistance with chores around the house. They prefer that to being an institution. And you know, I'm sure you've had that same experience talking to people in Maine.
Oh, absolutely. No one has ever said, oh, yay, I get to go to a nursing home. No one has ever said that.
No.
They serve a purpose and they're incredibly important. But being at home is where people really want to be, if at all possible. Are there new services in this, or are they just expanded services that maybe weren't covered before, but services that are already in place, or has he come up with new things?
For the most part, it's services that are provided and would be available on a much more extensive basis because of the additional funding. And what is new is the funding to and incentives and benefits to bring people into that caregiving profession, because we're, you know, just having the money to pay for the service isn't going to help if the people aren't there to provide the service. So that is a critical element in this legislation, incentives to caregiver workers to continue in that profession, incentives to enter that profession, and the benefits, I think, are way overdue. I've run across a number of healthcare workers that provide home care. It's always astonishing to me. You know, they're angels to do this kind of work and be compensated so poorly. to not have benefits like paid leave and health care for themselves, and yet they do it anyway. So this I think is something that needs to be done. It's the fair thing to do, and it will bring more people into the profession where they'll be able to afford to give this kind of care in the home.
When we come back, I'm going to ask you about family caregivers and if there's money for that. So be thinking about that. We will be right back with more from Max Richmond, so stay with us. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, Max Richmond. So when we left, we were talking about caregiving and money for professional caregivers. Max, is there any money earmarked in this proposal to pay family members to care for their loved ones who perhaps have had to leave a job because you can't leave if the senior is very frail or ill or has Alzheimer's, can't leave them alone, and they come into the home, and now this person has had to quit their job so they can stay with
them? That's such an important topic. I'm glad you brought it up. And by the way, I just wanted to mention, we have, by we, I mean the National Committee to Preserve Social Security Medicare, we have about 12,000 members and supporters in the state of Maine, and they're very active. I hear from them often, so I'm hoping they'll be able to listen to your program and get this information directly by our discussion. But to your question, I read a study recently, a Harvard University study, that there are about 40 million Americans right now providing unpaid caregiving. That's mostly for older adults and some for disabled individuals. 40 million providing this care unpaid. So, you know, I think one of the things that I'm hoping the White House will get behind is a proposal that's been in Congress the last couple of years that hasn't made it into law, but it would provide for a formula for those people who have to leave the workforce, and as you know, it's mostly women that provide this care for an older adult or someone disabled, and often that older adult is a parent of one of their spouse, but women are the ones that leave the workforce. And what does that mean? It means that they're not being paid, but they're not contributing to Social Security. The formula for determining their benefits is calculated on the number of quarters that they contribute. So they're not only paid, so often when they are working, as we know, they're paid less than men are. And then when it's time for them to retire, their Social Security benefits will be lower because they have not put in a sufficient number of quarters, enough money into the program. What we've been working on, and I hope the President Biden's administration will support it, is a formula that would translate those years that a person, as again, often a woman, leaves the workforce to provide care for an older adult or someone who's disabled. There would be a formula that would, during that period of time, would count for the number of quarters that they're missing and not paying into the Social Security program. This would give them, I think, some peace of mind that their Social Security would not be they would not be reduced because they leave the workforce to provide this kind of service. And I'm hoping that the White House will get this proposal had a lot of support in the House and in the Senate in the last couple of years, but it's never made it the kind of visibility it needs by the White House. So we've been talking to people in the Smith administration, hoping we can make that change.
That actually had not occurred to me. And so when these women who have had to leave work and are caring for their loved ones and they do get their Social Security, which may be down to $700-$800 a month, and they get ill, it's that cycle is just going to continue because they're not going to have enough money to care for themselves, and it's just going to go on and on, and they'll be on Medicaid.
You know, it's not something that is at the top of the list for a lot of members of Congress. We're trying to change that. You know, as I said before, women, and this is not, this should be fixed as well, but right now, women, I think, still make about 80 cents or less to the dollar compared to a man doing a similar job. So they're already paid less, which means that then less money that they're making at the moment, but also less that's going into Social Security. And then when they have to leave the workforce to raise a family, or to take care of an older relative, they're not putting money into the program because they're not these 40 million are not being paid, mostly women. So their benefits, resulting benefits when they do reach 67, which it will be for most people, will be reduced. So it's something that I think has gotten growing support in the Congress, but the last administration never acknowledged the need for this kind of change. We're hoping that this administration does take it seriously and will look for some solutions.
We are going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk more about this. But I encourage you to log on to ncpssm.org. Send in your $12 a year to be a member, and you will get the most accurate nonpartisan information about everything happening in Washington. I've been a member for years and get a lot of my information from there. Stay with us. There's more to come. We will be right back. So, Max, let's talk about one other thing that is really on people's minds, and that is the cost of prescription drugs. You can get serious sticker shock at the pharmacy. Is there anything being done about that?
Well, I think the president, and in his address to Congress last week, talked about the need to address the high cost of prescription drugs. And my gosh, it's so evident that we are paying too much in this country for prescription drugs. I saw a General Accounting Office report that in the United States, consumers paid between two and four times as much for brand name medicine than in other major Western countries. The same study pointed out 30% of adults in the U.S. have failed to take prescribed medication because they can't afford the high cost, and stated that we could see in a year about over a million premature deaths among Medicare beneficiaries because they can't afford drugs and they're cutting pills in half or skipping days. So, you know, the president in the address to Congress last week made it clear that the cost of prescription drugs is way too high. What we need to do a couple things, but the most important thing we need to do is give Congress the tools that it needs to bring down the price of prescription drugs. Under Medicare added a Part D benefit, as you know, prescription mm-hmm. drugs in 2003. I happen to have been in the Capitol in the gallery when the debate was taking place for the final vote on this Part D addition of prescription drugs to Medicare. I left about 2 a.m. It went on all night. Apparently, at 5 a.m. in the morning, a deal was struck that the federal government would not be able to negotiate for the best price for prescription drugs for Medicare beneficiaries. You can be sure that the Committee to Preserve Social Security was not in the room when that deal was hatched. It was the pharmaceutical companies. This is what they insisted on as in order to support, probably begrudgingly support, the addition of Medicare prescription drug coverage. We have been trying to change that since 2003 and have not been successful so far. But I think I'm hoping that the president will take up that that cause and help get legislation through the Congress that would not only give the government the authority to negotiate for the best price, but mandate it. I mean, you know, you have an entity, the Medicare program, representing tens of millions of people, and they're prohibited from trying to get the best price on prescription drugs for Medicare beneficiaries. It's really unconscionable, and I'm hoping the president will. It may not be in this first round of packages that he has put up, but he's clearly aware of it, as he said in his remarks to the joint session of Congress. And we're in touch with members of Congress and people in the administration trying to move that through the process. In addition, we need to have a cap on out-of-pocket expenses on prescription drugs. There are proposals that would limit the cost increase year to year, the inflation, at least to what other companies, other countries are paying for prescription drugs. And then there's a whole area which is very complex involving patent reform. Right now, there are ways that the pharmaceutical companies can circumvent the rules when a drug is about to go generic to keep them out of the business so that they can maintain their high cost for brand name drugs. That needs to change as well.
It does. Max, I am out of time, but I would like to invite you back to have a whole show about this.
I really appreciate this and be glad to come on anytime.
Come on and talk about that prescription drug and the patent. That's fascinating. I'd love to have you back. Again,
thank you.
NCPSSM, ncpssm.org. Log on, sign up. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk.